I'd like to turn to Isaiah 61. And 1, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified."
Amen.
Isn't that a wonderful commission to be sent to give all of that to people this morning?
Amen.
I think about the excitement that I've felt before when watching a video clip of the inauguration and watching everybody has their eye on those doors of the state capitol waiting for the arrival of the president. And before the president comes through those doors, there's all kinds of dignitaries that come through the doors and they announce someone and you never know who it is. You don't know really the name of the announcer. I suppose you could find out. But that's not important at all. What's important is who's coming through the door, who is being announced. But what an honor it would be to be the announcer. Wouldn't that be pretty neat to announce, "Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States." And then you hear "Hail to the Chief," and then the president comes through the door. Well, I'm just an announcer. I'm nameless, really. And it doesn't even matter. What matters is what we're announcing and who we're announcing. And I am so honored to be able to announce to you what the Lord, to proclaim to you, to give you good tidings. And we know that Jesus took this scripture and opened it up and read it there in Nazareth in the synagogue. And he said, "Today this is fulfilled in your ears." And it was him. He was the one who came to do all of this. Verse 3, it says, "To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion." And I've always wondered, to appoint what? To what is it saying here? So when you look that up, it really means to impart gladness. To impart gladness to those who mourn in Zion. To give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning. I can't think of a better thing to talk about this morning than the joy of the Lord. And Sister Yvonne mentioned it in the song. The song said something about the creation is rejoicing and the angels and then how much more they're rejoicing because the Lord takes care of them and clothes the lilies and feeds the sparrows and causes the stars and the moon and the sun to shine. And they all rejoice. And then the song said, how much more? And I believe the thought to me was, should I rejoice because he cares for me? Because he does so much for me. I found a scripture here the other day that I didn't know was in there. And I was so excited because I love sunsets and sunrises. And for 21 years, we lived in a house that you could see both really clearly. And I loved getting up. And some people say that they don't like to get up in the morning, but I learned to love to get up so I could see the sunrise. And I love to watch the sunset. And I traded that for a creek and woods where we're living now. So that's okay because that's really beautiful too. But I still love sunsets and sunrises. But I found this scripture, and probably to satisfy your minds, I better turn to it and just want to reference it just for a little bit here because it was so wonderful. If I can find it. I might not be able to find it. Well, I'm just going to reference it in saying it. But I found a scripture that said something about the outgoings of the morning. Somebody, if you want to try to look that up for me, but
65 and 8.
So I knew it was 60-something, so I just wasn't looking at the right place. Thank you. Yes, thou makest the outgoings of the morning and evening to rejoice. And when you look that up, it just says sunset and sunrise and sunset sing joy unto your name. Ah, so that's why I love it so much. It's because it sings the joy of the Lord. Sunrise and sunset rejoice. If they're going to rejoice, then I want to rejoice too. And I am thankful. Again, in Isaiah, I want to give a scripture here. Isaiah 56. And this tells what the Lord is going to do in the kingdom of God. He tells us in verse 5, even to them will I give in my house and within my walls a place and a name better than of sons of daughters and of daughters. I'll give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. Isaiah 56 and 5. 6. Also the sons of the strangers that join themselves to the Lord to serve him and to love the name of the Lord, to be his servants. Everyone that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it and taketh hold of my covenant, even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon mine altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all people. And I believe he's fulfilled all of these things. There are several literal things. A place and a name and a house and the Sabbath and a house of prayer, burnt offerings and sacrifices. But we believe it's all been fulfilled in the Spirit today. Yes. That his house is his presence and his people, his church, where he dwells in our hearts. That's what that is. And he's going to bring us to his presence and salvation. And it says, I will make them joyful in my house of prayer. That the Lord, I believe that in all of the religion of Jehovah, ever since the beginning, there's been joy. And it was always been the enemy's intent to take that away from the worship of God and from the sons of men. To oppress them, to make them distracted and take away their peace and their rest in him. And when that's taken away, the joy is taken away. But it has been God's intent for his creation. If he made the sun and the moon and the sunset and the sunrise and the hills and the trees and the lilies and the animals and the rivers and the everything to rejoice, I believe he has even more. Even more for the sons of men who will take hold of him to please him. It's going to be a joy. And if it's not a joy this morning, then you have the privilege of coming to him and saying, Lord, I really want to serve you, but something is making me not enjoy it. And let the truth come into your life today that the Lord wants you to enjoy the service of the Lord.
Yes.
This is not a slavery and a bondage and a servitude being forced upon you. You choose this, but you choose to serve him. You choose to say, yeah, I could go out free, but I love my master. And I want to serve you. And the things that you've asked me to do, I do them and I rejoice in them. And he wants to give us that today. The things that he tells us to do, did he do that to just discipline our lives and to just make it a rigor to us and make us dread it and the commandments and the word of the Lord? Is that just to just kind of bust your bubble and you just can't get up too excited about this because you're going to have to obey the Lord here? I don't believe it. That's just not my Lord. Let me look here. Let's look here in John 15 and in verse 11. Jesus himself said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." That is the entire purpose of the commandments of the Lord. One place in Deuteronomy, I love that verse. It says, "Oh, that there were such a heart in them," this is Deuteronomy 5 and 29, "that they would fear me and keep my commandments always, that it might be well with them."
Yeah.
His desire for our obedience is centered on our well-being. Do you believe that? I believe that. I believe that every do that he told me to do, if I do those things unto him with a heart, with a free heart, that when I do them, there's going to be joy in it. And every don't that I see in the word, it's because that whatever he's asking me not to do, it's going to hurt me. And so it's with joy that he gives his word to us. It is for our well-being, that it may be well with them and with their children forever. I believe that about the Lord. When Jeremiah was imprisoned by the Lord's enemies, he had quite a life of persecution. It wasn't during the time that he was in prison, but it was during the time that the Lord had called him to prophesy to the people of Israel, and he was constantly having to tell them that because of their idolatry, there was judgment coming. And the other prophets were like, "Oh, it's going to be peace. Everything's going to be all right. You don't have to worry." And Jeremiah had a different message. He was saying, "There's judgment coming because you have turned away from the Lord God." And so they tried to persecute him. And but there was a place here in Jeremiah 15 and 16. In all of his persecution and all of his suffering, there was something that happened to him. It says, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart.
Amen.
For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts." So you see, his word and his commandments are not to bring you into some kind of oppression.
That's right.
And here's a little tip I will give you. If you feel like you've got to do something, and with that comes a lot of darkness and depression and oppression and bondage, it is okay for you to come to the Lord and say, "I'm not going to do that right now. I mean, I'm getting this thought that I ought to do something." And I mean, something like, I don't know what to say. You can come up with your own little thought there. Fill that in. But sometimes you get these impressions, and it's just, it's like, that it's just bringing darkness. It's bringing, if the joy of the Lord is not there, then you have, I would say, a right, or you have the privilege of just coming to the Lord and saying, "Lord, there's no joy with that. I'm not, it's just going to make me really confused and, even trying to figure it out. I can't figure it out. I don't know if it's you or the devil. But just whatever tries to diminish your joy, just run from that. Just, I mean, now I'm not talking about a temptation to sin. I'm not talking about that, that you can just disregard God's voice. But until you mature in your experience enough to know God's voice for sure, and it's confusing to you, and it's not bringing you joy, don't think that you have to do that little suggestion or whatever.
Yes.
Just take it to the Lord and say, "Lord, when you make it clear to me, I am willing to do it.
Yes.
But as long as I'm confused about this, I'm going to just commit this to you and just wait on it. And I believe that when you turn to the Lord like that, you're going to defeat the enemy. If it is the enemy trying to confuse you, and you keep on doing that with all of his stuff that he's bringing, I believe you're going to pitch him out after a while. He's going to quit that trick on you for a while, and you're going to get some victory there. Oh, I thank the Lord for the times in our life that when things are not well, things are not going well, the circumstances are bad, that there is a way that we can still have joy. And Romans chapter 15, I believe, has that in it. And also, there's another one I want to get about joy, and I'm probably looking right at it and don't see it. But let's get Romans 15. Verse 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. That's where we'll get some joy if we're lacking in joy. Maybe we're just not believing, and always couple belief with obedience to the Lord. He's saying something to you. Believe it and move upon that. And when you know it's the Lord, and he says he fills you with all joy and peace in believing. Now I'm looking for the one that says we are joyful in all our tribulation. Help me out with that one.
2 Corinthians 7:4.
I think that's it. And I think there may be another one. But let's look at that one. Now, who's saying this? Who is it that's writing? Okay, and what was Paul going through in his life? Was everything really good? Was he... let's think of some of the things that he described that he goes through. Perils among the sea, perils on the land, perils among false brethren, shipwrecked, stoned. All of these things. And he says here... I am filled with comfort. I am exceeding joyful in all our tribulation. Now that's, like Brother Dan said the other night, that's a benchmark right there.
Yes.
And we can maybe all of us say here this morning, oh, I don't know if I'm there. But I believe the Lord has... As we look into his word, I believe this is what he wants to do for us. I believe he wants to make us joyful in tribulation. I read about these two men that were imprisoned and they had to sleep. No, they just made them, lay under this bunk or this bed again with their faces against the floor. And the floor was not clean. It was really, really dirty. Bad dirty. And that one really... I thought, oh, Lord, could I do that? Could I lay for hours with my face against a filthy floor like that? Wet, too. And, ooh, it was just like... But those men were joyful. God gave them joy in that place. And so I just know if the Lord ever did allow us to be so persecuted like that, I just believe the Lord's going to do that for me.
Yes.
And he has done that for me before. I had one situation one time where I had to deal with a very filthy and smelly situation. And I just knew I was going to lose my dinner. And I wouldn't be able to keep up a good... Oh, I just knew I couldn't do this. And I told the Lord the day before, I said, Lord... I just can't do this. And I told my family, I said, I just can't do this. I can't deal with this. And I knew I had to do it, and it was going to be several hours of being in an intensely, really, really awful situation. And the Lord woke me up that morning. I was to do that. He woke me up, and he gave me a song. And the song was songs. Let's see. I am singing all along the way. I can hear joyful music in my soul. That's the Lord gave me a song like that. And I was so excited, and I was just like, oh, yes, bring it on. I'm going to do this. And the person called and said, we canceled. And I almost was let down. In a way, I was relieved, but I thought, but Lord, you had me all prepped for what you were going to do for me. So I just said, all right, you can do this for me next time. And he has certainly done that. And he gave me victory the next time, I think it was, where that person wanted to eat something. And I usually just ordered it and just let him eat it. And I'm driving, you know. And this time I was hungry and I was able to eat something. And I was just like, Lord, this is wonderful. This is victory that you have given. That's just a little thing, but it was a big thing to me. He causes us to be joyful in all our tribulation. There's a place in the Old Testament where they were faced with a big battle. And, you know, you might just think, well, so they just needed to, they just needed some intense training, and they just needed to grit their teeth and put on that armor, so choke them up so with armor that they can't hardly move, and then they're going to win this battle. But, you know, that's not how it was. 2 Chronicles 13. The king Jeroboam. Let's see. I've got one in mind, and I'm not sure if this is the one that I want. Let me find it here. Okay, this is a different one. There's one where Jeroboam had the ones who shouted. But I want to get this one in 2 Chronicles 20, and where Jehoshaphat, the king, after the Spirit of the Lord came upon some of the singers and said, do not be afraid or dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's. That's 15. Tomorrow go down against them. Verse 17, you need not fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for tomorrow go out against them, the Lord, for the Lord will be with you. And so they just worshiped, and then they stood up to praise the Lord. And the next morning they got up early, and the king said, you believe, and you'll prosper. You'll be established. You believe what he just said yesterday, because, you know, it could have been that some of them, after doing all that worshiping and praising and hearing the, well, by the next morning, they were kind of like, oh, I don't know if we can do this. But the next morning, after he said, now keep your faith up, believe, he consulted with the people. He appointed singers, verse 21, that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army. And to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And when they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which have come against them. And they were smitten. Oh, that is so, so true for us too. If you've been in a battle and you have tried all kinds of things, you've just tried holding on, believing, enduring, with gritting your teeth, and just praying and saying, Lord, help me, and you're not getting anywhere. Or maybe you have taken that verse, confess your faults to one another, and that you may be healed, and you've done that. You've confessed, and you've humbled yourself, and still something's not moving. I want to suggest this to you. You start singing praise to the Lord. You start thanking the Lord. And I believe you'll see something happen. I've had that happen. Yeah. Several times with our afflictions there at home with my husband. There was one time he was in such pain he was hollering. And the Lord spoke to me and said, praise the Lord. And I felt like I was almost like dishonoring my husband in his pain. Like, how can I praise the Lord when he's in there hurting? And it just came to me again. Praise the Lord. And so I began to praise the Lord in prayer. Lord, thank you. You are a mighty God. Praise you, Jesus. We know you're going to help us. And that pain, it just cut it. It just stopped just like that. I know this works. You start praising the Lord in your troubles. Believe him. You got to believe that when I do this, he is going to do his part. So when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against their enemies. Well, what about at home? You can do all the hollering at church you want to, but what about at home? Oh, there's several in the Psalms that speak about praise and worship and joy at home. And I believe that's the most important part, because the children are going to look at mommy and daddy and they're going to think, they're not as happy as my unsaved uncle and aunt. They have so much fun and mama and daddy aren't happy at home. Well, remember, children, your daddy and mama have a lot of cares and burdens of the home, and they may be tired and not slept all night because the baby was up. And it might be a little hard for daddy and mama to demonstrate a lot of joy. But daddy and mama, now, we can come to the Lord and say, Lord, I haven't slept all night, and I've got to care for these children, and I want to do it with joy. So, Lord, give me something, and the Lord will give you something, and he can help you. I know that's true. Well, I was thinking of Psalms 149. And verse 2, it says, let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Oh, don't we have a good king? Is he not worthy? That's the question that I find myself asking myself in the times of trial. But the Lord, is he not worthy? Oh, yes, so I can praise the Lord. It is not hypocritical for me to praise the Lord when things are not going well, because it's the Lord that's worthy. I'm praising him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Verse 5, let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. I think that's just a little picture of home, of the joy that he wants in a home. Let's look at another one. Ecclesiastes. Hey, that's easy to remember. 9 and 9. Live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of the life of thy vanity. Isn't that wonderful that the Lord has provided not just a marriage of convenience, a marriage of, okay, we're doing work together, we're raising a family together, we're building a house together, We're together. I'm going to stay with you. I'm going to be faithful to you. But there's an element that the Lord wants in our homes. Yes. Live joyfully. He can give that to us. And you know, that's Satan's intent, is to take and sap the joy out of marriage. And he'll try to do it even to the saints, even to saved people, is to take the joy out of loving and serving my companion. And to make it feel like that it's just, it's a drudgery. But he said here, and this is to the brothers, live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest. You just don't know what that will do for your wife. Is whenever she looks in your eyes and she knows that you're proud of her and that you think she's beautiful and that you're happy and you're thankful for and you recognize and you notice all the things that she does for you. And when she knows that you're living joyfully, that is a great boost to a wife. But amen. So let's talk to the ladies. Psalm 127, I believe it is. No, that's not the one. Well, I want the one where it says that he hath made the barren woman to keep house. Psalms 113 and 9. He maketh the barren woman to keep house and to be a joyful mother of children. Yes. So here we have the provision made for the father and the husband in the home. And we have the provision here made for the mother, the wife and the mother of the home. Think of what it would be for the Lord to give us this joy in our homes. For the little children to grow up in an atmosphere of joy. I think that would be just a wonderful thing for every home. The missing element. I wonder this morning. You may have everything. You may have a good job and a nice home and many things in life and no tragedies in your life, and you have your food and clothes all supplied, and you have friends and the church people, and you have all of these things. But is there a missing element in your life today? Is the joy missing? You may be laboring. You may be doing things, and you may be all measured up, but is joy missing? If joy is missing, you're missing something very vital, something very important. And you're missing something that the Lord has said, I'll make them joyful in my house of prayer. I'll never forget Sister Lynn's testimony one time at Monarch when she said she had gone to the altar and said, I just don't have the joy. And the sister said to her, well, sister, don't you know that in the presence of the Lord is fullness of joy? Do you remember that? That's in Psalm 16.
Yeah.
And I want to give you another tip here. Is how do you come into the Lord's presence? I know that there may be some of us who come and say, okay, so I'm going to go into the Lord's presence for joy. So I'm going to pray until I can pray. And you just labor and you agonize and you pray and you pray, and the minutes go by and you don't feel anything. I know about that. I know that can happen. The enemy doesn't want you to come into God's presence. So it may be that you're laboring in your own strength and praying and you're not really reaching into God's presence. I don't want to make it sound like the presence of God is hard to come to. Let's look at Psalm 100. Now, this could be a key right here. Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. This word thanksgiving, it also has an element in it of confessing. Confessing. And not just, you say, oh, we're not supposed to have sin to confess, but, oh, the confessing means a little bit more than just confessing of wrong, although if you do have the Lord show you that, then get that taken care of. Get that taken care of, and that's not a hard thing. You come and you confess before the Lord, Lord, I feel like I've failed here, and that's possibly the reason why I'm not having your joy. Lord, I feel like, I remember Aunt Maxine in her house years ago had a little rock in her bathroom that said, "Feel far from God? Wonder who moved." And I remember as a child seeing that. Feelings don't have a lot to do with it, but we think they do, and they're real important to us. But what's important is really our spiritual position, which we can know by what God is saying to us. And we can know by his word. If there's nothing that you can pinpoint, but the enemy is just bombarding you with doubts and thoughts. But whenever, like if you would say, well, what have I done wrong? I can't really think of anything that I've done wrong. And yet you're feeling like you have. Who is that?
Yes.
Who is that? Okay, identifying the enemy is half the battle.
That's
so
true.
If, what?
That's true.
Oh, sorry. when you identify who it is, why mess with him?
Yes.
Ignore him. Okay, I mean, he's...
Resist.
Yeah, resist him. In steadfast in the faith. Steadfast in the faith. Have nothing to do with his stuff and his lies, and just rebuke him and come back at him with the scripture. You must use the word of God.
Yes.
It says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. A part of this confession here that this word means is confessing your affirming and confessing your belief in God's love for you and his care for you and his promises to you. Confess those before the Lord. That is a tool you can use against the enemy. And you can enter God's presence by doing that, by confessing his, you believe in his grace, you believe in his salvation, you believe in his love for you. Enumerate the blessings of God to you. And it's confessing and thanksgiving all the same time. If that doesn't let you come into God's presence, I don't know what will, but that will, I just don't see how that won't let you you'll just begin to know I'm in the presence of God. Because I know and understand his love for me and his care for me and all the things that he's done for me. So enter into his gates and into his presence with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Don't forget, joy just begets joy. Rejoicing in him, and it can be just a deliberate, even though you don't feel like it. Remember this verse in Habakkuk when it talks about things not going very well. Yet, it says, I will rejoice. Habakkuk 3 and 17. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines. This could be an encouragement to the ministers that are here. Sometimes we don't see anything happening as a result of our labors. And we feel it's rather thankless, and we feel so, we feel bombarded. We feel like that no one appreciates it, but there's not anything really happening. I can't really show you anything from my years here and my labor. And in the world, the worldly churches are all results-oriented. They like to show results. But with God, many times it's different. We might not see the seed that we sow ever mature. Other men may enter into our labors that we did for many years and bring forth and see that fruit that we labored for many years. So we can't just always go on results. the fig tree blossoming and the fruit in the vine, the labor of the olive shall fail and the fields shall yield no meat. In your individual life, you say, well, I'm not a preacher. How does this apply to me? So in your individual life, you may feel like nothing really is happening. I don't really sense and have the fruit that I really want in my life. What's going on? This is what he said. The flock will be cut off from the fold and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon my high places. I'm thankful that we can. It's not hypocritical. If you don't feel like rejoicing, it's not hypocritical to rejoice.
That's right.
We do it because it's what we are commanded to do, and yet it's more than that. It's more than that. It is because we believe in the love and care that he has for us. It's because we confess and we begin to call to mind the reality of the situation is that God has worked a miracle in my life. And he is giving me this day. And you begin, I remember we used to take Sister Catherine Williams from her little house over here on in the middle of Oklahoma City, all the way out 23rd Street to Boley once a month. And that was a real privilege. And as soon as we got her in the car, she'd say, do you have any requests? And so we'd share burdens, and then she'd start right in. And she usually prayed, probably beginning right here at the interstate, all the way to Boley. And so she'd pray for the day. And she, every time when she would begin her prayer, she would say, Lord, this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And she would begin her prayer with praise. And she would begin to list all of the things. I remember one time, I forget who it was. Someone was sick unto death. They did pass away. But I was there. And Brother Chuck and Sister Kawita were there praying for this person. And when Brother Chuck started praying, he said, Lord, we thank you for this day.
Yes.
And he began to list, and this person is dying. And you know, you would kind of think, oh, you just need to just dive right in with earnest prayer. He just took our souls right into the presence of God with thanksgiving and praise.
Amen.
And that was a real, and that's really helped me in our time. Sometimes we've had some times where, you know, you've got trouble breathing. We need help right now. Get down before the Lord and say, Lord, thank you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you that we can come to you. Thank you that our lives are in your hands. Thank you that you're in control of everything. And it just quiets the soul. And it just puts you right into the presence of the Lord. And you begin to just, you begin to have faith for what you're asking for. It is a wonderful, this joy. If your joy is missing today, it's going to cripple you. It's going to make you weak in your life. Just think about now. Over here in, is it Ezra? Where the people had found, or Nehemiah, which one? Yeah, it was. where it says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Yes, thank you. There we go. They had found the law of God, and Ezra had read it, and he had caused them to understand it and explained it to them. And the people started to mourn and weep. And Ezra said to them, Nehemiah and Ezra, they taught the people and said, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not. This is Nehemiah 8 and 9. Don't weep, don't mourn, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. And he said unto them, go your way, Eat the fat and drink the sweet. Go have a feast and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. Have a feast, share the food, send gifts, and send food, for this day is holy unto our Lord.
Right.
Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength.
Yes.
If you feel a little weak in your soul today, you know what? Just begin to enumerate God's blessings. Begin to believe in what He has promised you. And I believe He'll restore joy and give you strength through that joy. Oh, I'm so thankful today for what the Lord has given. I want to read just a few more scriptures that describe times where the joy was gone, and the, let's see, Psalm 51. Let's do that one. Psalm 51 and 12.
Oh yeah.
You know, there's a difference. If you're not serving the Lord this morning, you may have some great times in sin, but it's not joy. It's not real joy, because joy is only in the presence of the Lord.
Amen.
And so this morning, if you're not saved, you're truly bereft of joy, true joy. And I'd like to just entreat you this morning to come to the Lord for salvation. I believe that what Isaiah said in Isaiah 12, where he said, "Behold, God is my salvation. I'll trust and not be afraid. I'll praise thee, though thou wast angry with me. Thine anger is turned away." If you're not with the Lord today, you're not serving Him. You're in that place. You need to come to Him and repent and receive the comfort of the Lord and have His anger toward your sin. Why is He angry with you? It's because you've turned against Him and you're not pleasing Him with your life. And He's angry at sin that's destroying you. But He wants you to turn away from it today and receive His comfort and His salvation. And it says, "Therefore with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation." But here in 51 of Psalms, David, after he had sinned, he had committed adultery, and he had also lied about it, and he had also deceived so that someone was killed because of his lie. All of these things he had done, and he was confessing and acknowledging that he had sinned against God, and he was begging for the Lord to cleanse him and to make him have a truthful heart and a heart that was after God. And then he said in verse 8, "Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me."
Yes.
Don't quit dealing with me, Lord.
Yes.
I want you to deal with me and bring me all the way from sin into salvation. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. I want to ask you this morning, does the Lord hear this prayer? Does He hear this kind of prayer?
Yeah.
Does He wash away sin? Does He restore joy into your life?
Yes,
He does. I believe this. I believe God will do this. There's another scripture in the Psalms that I have thought about all week. It talks about the Israelites who were carried away into captivity. In Psalm 137, he talks here, the Jews were in captivity in Babylon, and they were weeping and they were despondent when they remembered the prosperity and the joy of Zion. In verse 2, it says, "We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they that carried us away captive required of us a song. And they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, Sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land?" I think that spiritually this can happen. You may not physically be removed anywhere, but in your heart, you hung up your harp in the willow and you have no song. You have no joy. It's all gone from you and your spirit is just dry and bereft. And maybe for a long time, it's that way. And maybe someone says, "Hey, perk up, sing a song, be joyful. Hey, be happy, be happy, be happy." And it's like, "Ew, I can't do that." Your soul is in captive to something. I don't know what it might be today if you're there, but I've been there before.
Yes.
I've been there before. It's a spiritual, this Babylon or this captivity can be a spiritual state of mind. And you can't sing this song. You just don't have. You have not a song. You can't sing the song because you're in a strange land. Well, in this case, the Lord brought them back. And we were reading there in Nehemiah about those ones that sang for joy. Or they were taught to sing for joy. And so they began to do that. And in Nehemiah, then in a later chapter, chapter 12, in verse 42, it says here, when they had come back to Jerusalem and here they were being organized to serve the Lord again with all of the business of the house of God. It says in verse 42, "And the singers sang loud." And verse 43, "Also that day they offered great sacrifice and rejoiced, for God and made them rejoice with great joy. The wives also and the children rejoiced, so that the joy of Jerusalem was heard, even afar off." I love that scene. I love the thought of that. He said, "I'll make my people a rejoicing, and I'll make my people a joy in the earth." There's one of the big reasons why we want to maintain and have the joy of the Lord in our hearts is because sinners need to see it.
Yes.
Sinners need to know. And so it's not, but hey, it's not something we put on. Don't say to your family, "Okay, everybody look happy because we're Christians and they need to know we're happy." That's not going to work. That's kind of false, isn't it? But God is the source. Seek Him so that even unconsciously, His love and His light radiates from your face when you go into public. There's going to be something that just comes out without you going like that around and false joy or whatever. But maybe somebody, maybe your neighbor knows that you have sickness in the home, or that maybe people know you're having trouble in your life. But if there is a serenity and a radiance that's put there only by the Lord, it will attract them like nothing else. It really will. I was thinking of another scripture in Joel, and I'll be through here just shortly. Joel, the condition described here, Israel, when they had forsaken the Lord. Joel 1 and 12. "The vine is dried up. The fig tree languisheth, and the pomegranate tree, the palm tree, and the apple tree, even all the trees of the field are withered, because joy is withered away from the sons of men." This is talking about fruit. I want to tell you this, that joy is a fruit.
That's right.
And fruit's only produced when there's a union. When you're not connected to the vine, when you're not joined to the Lord in one spirit, when you're not married to Him with an everlasting covenant, and you're cleaving to Him and holding on to Him and connected with Him, Only from Him is your fruit found.
Yes.
We can't have joy unless we're connected. That's a whole other message, but there's a little tip there. Joy is withered away, and so is the fruit out of our life. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. That's part of the fruit, which comes because there's been a union. So thank the Lord this morning. That's available to us. I want to encourage you. It may not be something that you can do in a public setting like this, but begin seeking the Lord. Lord, there's more. I believe you have more than just me eking out an existence and saying to everyone that I serve you, Lord, I want your joy again. If your joy is withered this morning, if something has stopped your connection between you and the Lord, it may not be known sin, but it could be just, you just need to believe. You just need to have a greater faith, and maybe you just need to take more time to be in His presence. Whatever, consider these verses that we've read today, and know of a surety that you too may have the joy of the Lord in your life.